take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 4. I want to take a moment to thank Dr. Martin for speaking for us last Sunday. As many of you know, we were at Aaron's church. He was preaching that Sunday, and he had asked if we would come and be a part of that. Little did we know that not only would he be preaching, but he would also be leading the music and doing a special on acoustic guitar and singing at the same time, which him doing two things at once is incredible. And also, his church licensed him to the ministry, which we did not know as well. So I'm glad we were able to, no offense, but I'm glad we were able to be away to celebrate that with our son. So I want to thank Dr. Martin for bringing the word for us last week, and heard everything went just fine. So thank him for that. Our sermon series is called Going Out of Our Way, right? Going Out of Our Way. And I want you to watch a short video clip. You probably have seen this on TV, but watch a short video clip about someone who went out of their way.
I'm a college football fan. One of my game day rituals is to stand the entire game. I'm too nervous to sit. We had a big event for the game, catered by Chick-fil-A.
Trays and nuggets for the win.
Because we won the game, the very next week we called Pam and did it again.
I saw how important it was to Harris. What could I do to add that personal touch?
She busts out Auburn plates, orange cups, blue cups. The place went crazy. She is my good luck charm for big football games.
War Eagle!
Make Chick-fil-A your game day ritual with the Chick-fil-A app. Earn points, redeem rewards.
Woo! War Eagle! I just thought I'd say that real quick. Now, I did not have that video played to celebrate Auburn football, because trust me, this year there's nothing to celebrate. Amen? It's just been a bad, bad year. And I did not do that in order to give a shout-out for Chick-fil-A, although tomorrow night is Chick-fil-A night for the school. Amen? So we hope that you'll come and be a part of that. But I did want to show that video for this purpose. And maybe you've seen that on TV, along with other videos that go along with that, with the same kind of theme, that these particular employees at this particular establishment went out of their way to do something special, right? And you say, oh, okay, so this lady got plates and cups. And No. Did you see the little caption at the beginning? Long Island, New York. Folks, you don't find Auburn cups, Auburn plates, Auburn napkins in Long Island. New York. I can't even find them in Florida. I could barely find them in Alabama, mainly because they're sold out because we're so popular. Anyway, that's beside the point. She went out of her way. I don't know if she got on the internet. I don't know what she did, if she knew somebody or knew a guy who knew a guy or what, but she went totally out of her way to do something special so that this gentleman could enjoy his whatever he was doing watching this game, whatever game it was. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't a game that there was this year. It had to be last year, because last year's season was pretty good. This year's was so anyway, that's beside the point. But still, went out of their way. And that's kind of the theme of our series, is going out of our way. And today the title of our message is God Went Out of His Way. God went out of His way. We all go out of our way for lots of things, don't we? We go out of our way for our children. You know, we drive them to the mall to be with their friends, or maybe they want to go out to us. We would rather go to this eating establishment, but they would rather have pizza or whatever, you know. We do things. We go and buy things for them. We go out of our way. We pick them up from sleepovers or take them over to somebody's house. We do lots of things for our children. We do go out of our way, hopefully, for our spouses. Occasionally, it doesn't even have to be a special day. It doesn't have to be a birthday or anniversary or anything like that. Valentine's Day, maybe you just get flowers for your bride, men, out of the blue, out of nowhere. Amen? Okay, that's not good. I do sometimes, all right? Or maybe get a card or something like that. You just go out of your way to show your affection and your love for your spouse, whether it be your husband or your wife. Maybe at your job, you do something outside of your job description. You know, we all have our job descriptions, and there'll be people who say, well, that's not in my job description. Let me tell you something. When you're in ministry, everything is in your job description. Doesn't matter what it was. I remember when we were seeking a principal here, and we were interviewing Brother Dan over here, and I remember us asking, somebody asked this question. I don't remember who it was, Dan, but somebody said, is it above you to have to clean up an area when a student gets sick? He kind of stopped and thought about that for a second. No, actually, he said, no, it's not above me. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do, you know. May not be a part of his job description, but when you're in ministry, it is part of your job description. You do all these kinds of things to go out of your way. The other night, we were here at a ball game, Friday night, and unfortunately, one of the toilets in the ladies' restroom overflowed. And yes, it flooded one stall. No, not one, but two stalls. No, not two stalls, but three stalls and about one third of the bathroom. By the time I got there, Aaron, we weren't even supposed to be here to begin with, but we just came. He was in there, and he had already had, and I wish Brother James were here because he knows how big this thing is. We got a wet vac. It's about yay big around and about that tall. That sucker was totally full of water. And he had gotten in there, and you know, what part of his job description? He just jumped into action and did it. And I was thankful that he did, or else that sucker would still be running over there right now. And we'd have a whole gym flooded again. You know, we don't need that. But going out of your way. I appreciate the people who came out blitzing yesterday. They went out of their way. They decided, you know what, I'm not going to sleep in. I'm not going to go out for breakfast. I'm not going to take time to mow my yard or trim the bushes or watch TV, clean the house, shop, get a haircut, do my nails, go over wherever. I appreciate it. They said, you know what, I'm going to go out of my way, and we're going to get the gospel out to the neighborhoods. I appreciated that. Why? Because God went out of his way. We ought to go out of our way because God went out of our way, out of his way. Galatians 4, stand with me if you would out of respect to God's word. Galatians 4, verse 3. Paul here is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. God went out of his way. To do what? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Father, we pray that you would allow the word of God to just permeate our hearts, our minds. Lord, that it would change us, that we would see the importance of doing things your way. And Lord, sometimes that means going out of our own way, just as you did. Thank you, God, that there was a time when the fullness of time had come. Thank you that you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Thank you for Jesus. Help us now, Lord, as we study your word. We pray in the precious name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God went out of his way. Verse 4 says, God sent forth his Son to redeem. He came to redeem the lost. And write these verses down. John chapter 10 and verse 10, very familiar verses. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I have come. God went out of his way. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. God went out of his way. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance. What? That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. God went out of his way. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God went out of his way. God went out of his way to save us, church. But why? Why would he do that? And this, as we talk about and think of this Christmas season, why would God leave the beauty, the glory, the majesty of heaven and come down to this wretched, wicked earth to save us? Why would he do that? I want to share with you today four reasons why God went out of his way in this particular passage. Four reasons why God went out of his way. Number one, God went out of his way because we were in prison. We were in prison. Look at verse 3. Even so we, so Paul's including him, right? He's speaking to the Galatians, the believers in Galatia, and himself. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were in bondage. The word bondage there means enslaved, chained up. We were captured and captivated. We were in prison. We were in bondage. I don't know if anybody, or maybe you know somebody who's been arrested or been in prison or whatever. Prison's not a fun place, amen? I don't want to go there. And you think about prisons today, I mean, you don't want to be in prison, but that's not necessarily as bad as it could be, as it is in other places in the world. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think here in America, prisons pretty much give the prisoners three meals a day. All right, they're fed. I think they probably have either cable or satellite TV of some sort. They're allowed to have recreation and what have you. But I want you to go backwards and think about the context of what Paul's writing about here, being enslaved, being in bondage, being in chains, being in prison back in his day. You see, you got to keep in mind, back in his day, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have running water. To be in bondage, to be in prison, think about that for a moment. Many of those prisons were underground, kind of like dungeons. And the only light you had was if a guard walked by with a torch. So there was darkness. There were no restrooms. Your cell was the restroom. It was damp. It was disgusting. It was filled with disease and dirt. It was darkness. You didn't have a whole lot of food. There was little or no food. There was hopelessness. There was fear. There was even abuse. And Paul says, when we were children, we were in bondage. Galatians 3:22 says that Scripture confines all under sin. We were all under the bondage of sin. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26 says that Satan has taken us captive. He's captured us to do his will. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. This is a messianic passage, but listen to it. Isaiah writes and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of those who are bound." What Paul is saying in Galatians is, God went out of his way, because before salvation, you were all in prison. You were shackled. You had chains around your neck, around your hands, and around your feet. You were captive. You were in bondage. You were in prison before Jesus came. Satan had you in his prison of sin. You were helpless, and you were nasty and filthy and prideful and arrogant and selfish, filled with death and disease. And you didn't care about God. You were in prison. And the very best that we could do, Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:6, is to present with God our works of righteousness. When he looked at them, he said, "Those are like filthy rags." The word filthy referring to leprosy rags. We were in prison. We were in prison. No way out. No way out. And God saw that. Why did he go out of his way? Because we were in prison and there was no way out. This is why the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," what happened? "Christ died for us." God looks down and he sees sinful creation and what sin has done, and he sends his only begotten Son to die for the sins of mankind. We've got to be able to see that. We've got to be able to see that God went out of his way because we're in prison. We've got to be able to see that the people around us who are lost are in the prison of sin. We've got to be able to look at people and say, you know what? That is a soul that will last for eternity, and right now they're shackled with the chains of sin and despair and eternity without Christ. And it's all about really a mindset. How do we see people? John Knox, the great minister, theologian from Scotland, said, "Give me Scotland or I die." Lottie Moon, we spoke of her earlier. She said, "Surely there can be no greater joy than that of saving souls." Amen? If you've ever led a soul to Christ, you know what I'm talking about. You know what she's talking about. She also said, "How many millions of souls are to pass into eternity without having heard the name of Jesus?" This is why she went to China. She could not bear the fact that people were imprisoned by sin and were on their way to hell. So why did God go out of his way? Number one, because he saw us in prison. And he knew you needed freedom. He knew that I needed freedom. Number two, look at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why did God go out of his way? One, because we were in prison. Number two, because it was the right time. It was the right time. It was when the fullness of time had come. What that means is simply, it's time to go. You know, the whistle has blown. The gun has fired. It's time to go and get this particular thing accomplished. What is that thing? God sending Jesus. Whenever all of the Old Testament saints, when the books of the Old Testament were written, and of course we got the last book of Malachi, and Israel had been through the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity, and finally they're allowed to begin to return to the land, God said, now it's time. Now let me give you three reasons why. You probably have heard these before, but let me give you three reasons why it was the perfect timing. Is God ever late? No, never. God's always on time, and he knew everything that was taking place, and now is the time. There are three reasons why the time was just right. It was, number one, it was just right religiously. Religiously. Israel, in the midst of the Babylonian captivity, what got them there really was they were mixed up in idolatry. They had followed idols. The Baals, the Ashtaroths, and so on. They had followed all these idols, and God said, fine, you're not going to follow me. You're going to follow all these false gods. I'll fix your little red wagon, amen. And he allows Babylon to come down and conquer them and take them into captivity, right? But during that time, they begin to get away from idol worship. And today, really, Israel is not known as an idol-worshiping nation. Now, they do their own thing, and they're not obeying the word of God, and they need to accept Jesus and all that. But as far as the grave sin of idolatry, they're really not known for that today, and they haven't been since the Babylonian captivity. So whenever that took place, some things began to happen. They started to build synagogues. Those synagogues were used as places of worship. They were used for schools and teaching their children the ways of the Lord and the Jewish and Hebrew ways. They used these synagogues as courts. And by this time, the Old Testament, it is complete. So basically what it's doing is, now that the Old Testament is complete, the Old Testament has now begun to build the path to introduce the Savior to the world. So religiously, everything is right exactly where God wants it. It is time for Jesus to come onto the scene. Because now we could point to Genesis. Now we could point to Isaiah. Now we can point to Daniel. Now we can point to Amos. Now we can point to Obadiah. Now we can point to Zephaniah and say, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. The time was right religiously. It was also right, secondly, culturally. Spreading of the gospel became much easier, because what basically had happened was Alexander the Great had come in and conquered all these nations, and basically peace had settled in. And whenever that took place, the after conquering the nations, he was able to establish a common language, which back then it was known as Koine Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in. So even though people knew Hebrew and Aramaic and what have you, they also knew Koine Greek. So now we can write the Bible in Koine Greek, and everybody began to understand the New Testament books. That sounds right, doesn't it? So God knew, after Alexander the Great had come on, little did Alexander the Great know that he was a pawn of God. God was orchestrating this whole thing as he's going through and creating this culture in which the spread of the gospel would become much easier, because they had a common language, a common culture throughout the known world of that time. So it was the right time religiously, it was the right time culturally, but it was also the right time politically. It was the time, about, many of you remember from your history class, the Pax Romana, which means Roman peace. There was, generally speaking, peace across the land. Why? Because Rome had conquered pretty much everybody. There was no a whole lot of battles and warfare going on. There was peace. So, and as a result, Rome's able to build all these roads. Help me out here. All roads lead to Rome. They were famous for the roads that they built, so it made it easier for travelers. They had the ability to go from one place to another and spread the gospel without anybody bothering them. All right? So it was the right time religiously, culturally, and politically. God went out of his way. Why? It was the right time. God knew what he was doing. It was the perfect time. But thirdly, God went out of his way because we belong to someone else. Oh, boy, he didn't like this. Look at verse 5. Speaking of Jesus, what did he come to do? He came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Born under the law. I want you to drop back to verse number 3 also. Paul said here, even so, when we were children, underline that word children. We think of children, we just, you know, there's a vast array of ages that we would consider our children. That's not what that word means, okay? The word there is nepos, and it means an infant, literally one without understanding, okay? So Paul says, when we did not understand what we were doing, we were under the curse of the law. Listen, before I got saved, I didn't have a clue about God. Did you? I mean, there's a God. And, Jesus, yeah, I heard about him dying on the cross. And, yeah, I think I heard it, that he rose from the dead. But I didn't care anything about God. Did you? I didn't. You know? It's not that I was outright rejecting God, but I had no interest there. I didn't want to do anything with that. And because of that, and because of my sin, I was under the curse of the law. And because I was under the curse of the law, guess who I belonged to? I was a child of the devil. We don't like that, do we? We don't like that, do we? You could be truthful about it. Somebody be unsaved and say, you're a child of the devil. Now, you're going to make them mad. So I wouldn't exactly say that. You don't want to get saved? Well, then you are a child of Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the deceiver. And you can just go down the list, you know. But you don't want to do that, of course. You don't want to offend people in that way because then they'll never come to the gospel. But nonetheless, it is a truth, is it not? If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. In John 8:44, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And they said, well, we are Abraham's children. And Jesus told them, he said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would love me. And you would do the works of Abraham. But instead, you don't love me. You're trying to what? Kill me. You don't love me. You can't be like Abraham. In fact, I'll tell you what. Take your Bibles. Go back there. Go to John 8. John 8. You don't love me. You're trying to kill me. John 8. Let's go to verse 42. John 8:42. Verse 40, he says, you're seeking to kill me. Abraham did not do this at the end of verse 40. You do the deeds of your father. Ooh, where's he going with this? And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Oh, here he goes. Here. Oh, Jesus is not confrontational. Watch it. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Woo! There's, Jesus did it. Maybe that makes it okay for us to do it. I don't know. But to the religious elite, Jesus told them, you're of your father, the devil. You can talk about being a father of Abraham all you want. You can sing the song right hand, left hand, right foot, left foot, turn around, stand up, spit, sit down. You can do it. I don't care. You're a child of the devil because their works gave him away. Why did God come into this world? Why did he go out of his way? Because we're children of the devil. We were children of Satan. Matthew 13, Jesus gives the parable of the fields and the wheat and the tares. He says that there's good seed and bad seed. And he says that the good seed, the wheat, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Take your Bibles, go to 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. 1 John, go past Galatians where you just were, and go all the way to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Right past 1 and 2 Peter, then you come to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, beginning of verse number 4. 1 John 3, 4, look at it. John the Apostle writes, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, he's not talking about committing a sin. He's talking about a continued lifestyle of sin. Someone who says that they're a child of God, yet they're constantly living in sin. John calls him in 1 John a liar, and the truth is not in him, okay? But let's keep going in verse 5. And you know that he, that's Jesus, was manifested to do what? To take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Verse number 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. In other words, if you're abiding in the Lord, you're not going to have a constant lifestyle of sin. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. We'll still sin, but there's not a constant lifestyle of sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the what? Devil. In other words, they're a child of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or made known that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. In other words, if you're born again, you cannot stay in a state of constant sin if you're truly a child of God. You just can't. The Holy Spirit won't let you. For his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he's been born of God. God went out of his way because he saw that we belong to someone else, and that was Satan. Satan has ruined my creation. Sin has ravaged humanity. Got to do something. What am I going to do? I'm going to send my son. Let me ask you a question. Just put this scenario out there, and my prayer is that this never, ever happens here, and if God forbid, but I know that it does happen in our world. But let's say you take your children to school. Let's say right here at Central Baptist Christian School, a car pulls up, and that car is unrecognizable. When you stand out here at car line enough, you know who's who. You know what cars belong, what cars don't, right? And let's say you see someone in that car, and you don't recognize that person. But all of a sudden, that passenger side door opens up. And you see that a child's attention goes towards that car. And you see whoever's in that car is leaning over and saying, hey, what are you saying? Whatever they're saying. And all of a sudden, you kind of see that child kind of, you know, because children are inquisitive, yes. And all of a sudden, that person grabs them and pulls them in the car. Ask you a question. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what, if I'm standing at car line, David West, God gave me the strength for when I was 17 and 18 years old. I am hauling boogie at that car. And if they start to pull away, I'm going to jump on it. I'm going to do everything I can to get to that car. And if I can't, I'm getting in my car and I'm chasing them down. In the meantime, I'm looking at the plates and I'm looking at what model and make and color the car is, two-door, four-door, SUV, compact car, whatever. And I'm doing everything I can. And I'm calling 911 and I'm at least following, if not chasing that guy down, right? Listen. Satan pulled humanity into his car. And God sent his son to chase him down and get his property back. God looked down and he saw that Satan had stolen his creation and ravaged his creation. And what did he do? He went out of his way to go get his creation back and bring us back to himself. God wanted to get us back, and he wanted to buy us back. You see there in the verse going back to Galatians chapter 4, that he redeemed those who were under the law. God wanted to buy us back. Redeem. The word redeem means to buy out or to buy back. It's the picture of a slave being on the auction block, and everybody's bidding for the slave, and finally the highest bidder gets the slave. And the person who bids the highest and gets that slave walks up to that slave, takes his shackles off his arms, takes his shackles off his feet, and said, you know what? Legally, you belong to me. Spiritually, you're free. Go. I'm releasing you. I'm redeeming you. See, that's what Jesus did. When he redeemed us, he paid the price for us. How many have been Christmas shopping yet? Anybody? Get your hands up. Anybody? Okay, got a lot of you need to catch up, including myself. Amen. Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, you know, Cyber Monday. Did anybody get out in all that mess? Bless your hearts. We need to pray for you people. I'll tell you, it wasn't that bad this year. I'll tell you what, any time at the mall, unless I'm getting a double doozy at the Great American Cookie Company, any day at the mall is a bad day for me. I got to at least get a cookie, you know, or go to the food court. But nonetheless, when you go to the mall, off on all that. Just one of them things. You bought things, and you get receipts, right? You get receipts. I was at Walmart recently and took a pair of shoes back to exchange this pair of shoes. Didn't want anything different, just needed a different size. That's all. Same color, same everything, you know. And, of course, you know, you walk up to the front. The lady gives you a little sticker, right? And you have to go to the customer service. And I wanted to get some other things, too. So the lady said, go get your other things, exchange your shoes out, and come back to customer service. So I did everything I was supposed to do. I paid for it, got the shoes. It was a straight exchange, one for another. And then I go to the door, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm a pessimist, okay? Do you ever walk by those little machines, and you just wonder if it's going to go off or not? You know, did I forget something? Did you put a case of waters on the bottom and you forgot to check those out or whatever, you know? But I was sure that I didn't. I didn't get that much, maybe, you know, 8, 10 different things. So it's all sitting there in my cart, and I go by that little thing, and what does it do? And I look, and right away I went. And I look back at the dude, and I'm like, listen, man, here's my receipt, you know? I'm telling you, I'm not trying to steal anything. I'm not a thief. I paid for it all. And, of course, he looked at my receipt and said, could you please get security? No, he didn't do that. He didn't get security to the front. But I had that receipt. That receipt said that I paid for stuff, and that stuff belongs to me. When you walk out the grocery store, you pay for stuff, and you get a receipt, and that stuff belongs to you, right? Jesus paid for you. The receipt is the cross. The receipt is the precious, sinless blood that was spilled on that cross. God went out of his way to buy you back. Amen? That's a great thought. Because you couldn't pay the price. You could try, but you can't pay for it. Only he could. So what did God do? He went out of his way. He couldn't stand the fact that you belonged to Satan. And he had to buy you and he had to buy me back. This is why Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Do you know Christ today? Jesus paid your price. The receipt's already there. The eternal life is there to obtain. Will you receive it? God went out of his way because we belong to someone else, and that someone else was Satan, and God didn't like it. Lastly, fourthly, quickly, God went out of his way because he desired a relationship with us. God went out of his way because he desired a relationship with us. In verses 5 through 7, I want you to look for the words adoption, sons, and heir, H-E-I-R, okay? Verse 5 at the very end there, why did God redeem us? That we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, he sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This passage screams relationship. Amen? Son, adoption, heir. When he speaks of adoption here, it means to give status of sonship to someone that's not a naturally born son. One can only become a child of God through divine adoption. And we are divinely adopted when we profess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the Savior of man and receive him as our Savior. In the Roman world, this was a big deal. Anyone who was adopted had special rights and special privilege, special status, special possessions that nobody else had. Wealthy, childless families often would adopt slaves and give them the status of everybody else in the house. And this is what God has done with us. He's adopted us. And he's called us his sons. God gives us the Holy Spirit to affirm our sonship with God. He reminds us that we're sons and daughters of God. By the way, I need to clarify something here. You've heard this before. I know you have. Well, we're all children of God. No, we are not. I need to make that perfectly clear, okay? You might disagree with that, and I challenge you to biblically prove it to me. We are all a creation of God, but we're not all children of God. Children of God are those who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. You're a child of the devil. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either headed for heaven or you're headed for hell. You're either headed for eternal bliss and glory with the great God of the universe, or you are in the path of eternal pain and agony for eternity separated from God. There is no middle ground. So we need to be sure we understand, if it says you're a child of God, that means you're saved, you're born again. And not everybody is a child of God, but everybody is a creation of God. But he calls us sons. Our earthly fathers passed down a sinful nature to us, but God has given us a divine nature that relates to him because of that adoption, because we've received Christ. And it is so intimate that he includes in here this phrase, Abba, Father. It's a very personal, very gentle, very loving, very endearing term that a child would refer to his father and call him Papa or Daddy. My boys, they have different ways they refer to me. Ethan will call me Father, he'll call me Dad. Evan calls me Pop, and Aaron calls me Pops, you know. But all of them, I know exactly what they mean, right? That relationship that's there. God desires a relationship. Think about that. The God of the universe desires a relationship with you, and he went out of his way to make it happen. And lastly, it says that we're an heir. Romans 8:17, it says that believers are God's children, and if children, then sons and daughters, and heirs also, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In other words, everything that Jesus possesses, you possess when you're a joint heir with Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Why? Because I am a joint heir with Christ. Amen? Everything he's got, I get. He's blessed us with that. God went out of his way because he desires a relationship with you. He went out of his way because he saw that you were in prison and needed freedom. He went out of his way because he saw that it was the right time. He went out of his way because he hated that we belong to someone else, Satan. And he went out of his way because he wants you to be his child and he wants a relationship with you. The question is, what will you do with that? God went out of his way. What are you willing to do? Let me give you a couple of points of application, then we'll be done this morning. These are kind of lengthy and wordy, so don't feel like you have to write them down. Trapped, imprisoned, belonging to someone else, no relationship with your Creator. Is that you? Have you ever had a time where you received Christ as Savior? When we were out yesterday, we had several opportunities where we were able to share the gospel with people. Man, I was so thankful for that. But I remember Ethan was talking to a guy, and he had asked him about heaven, and the guy said, "Oh no, I'm not going to heaven. I'm sure I'm going to hell. No relationship with God whatsoever." You know, God went out of his way for that man, and God went out of his way for you. You here today? You may know about God, but you don't know God. You may know about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. I'm here to tell you right now, when you get to heaven, it's not knowing about what God has done. It's about receiving what God has done. It's about bringing him into your life and allowing him to transform your life and forgiving your sin and giving you a life like no other. The question is, will you receive it? The receipt and the gift are there. Will you receive it? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you need to accept Christ today. It is the right time. Amen? If you don't know Christ, you need to do it today because you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't even know if you'll make it to the rest of the day. Accept Christ today. Number two, cultivate a heart for the lost. Believers, this one's for us. Cultivate a heart for the lost. Let me ask you a question. How do you see the lost people? How do you see lost people? Do you see them as people that are in prison? Do you see them as people that are controlled and held captive and in shackles and chained by sin and Satan himself? Do you see them as people who are going to die without Christ and spend eternity in the lake of fire without God, separated from God for all eternity? Do you see people like that? Because that's how God saw people. That's why God went out of his way. You see, if we would see people that way, we'll begin to go out of our way. We'll begin to take our agenda and set it to the side and say, you know what? I don't really need to do that right now because we ought to be doing this right here. We'll begin to say no to certain things. We'll begin to say, you know what, I have got to share the gospel. One of the things, D.L. Moody, one of the stories is told about him is that D.L. Moody would never, ever, ever allow a day to go by without sharing the gospel with at least one person. And I'm not talking about in his massive meetings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one-on-one him going out and just engaging the people. We let everything else get in the way. Fear, anxiety, lack of knowledge, laziness. If I'm not mistaken, the Great Commission is exactly that, not the Great Suggestion. Cultivate a heart for the lost. Ask God, God, help me to see people as lost and dying and going to hell. Get into God's Word. Study passages where Jesus had compassion on people and see what he did. Seek the heart of Jesus. Cultivate a heart for the lost. Tell you what, we have a heart for the lost. I'm not sure that we'll have enough cars to take people out to do blitzing. But instead, we allow our own agendas to get in the way. Number three, make my plans, but be spiritually aware of his steps. Make my plans, but be spiritually aware of his steps. Proverbs 16 and verse number 9, a verse that many of us know. A man's heart plans his ways. And we do, don't we? Y'all got your plan for tomorrow? I do. I got my plan for tomorrow. It's going to work and all that kind of stuff. We got our plans, right? But the Lord directs his steps. Are you looking for God's steps tomorrow? Are you looking for God's agenda tomorrow with the people you engage? Or are you just going to do your job? Make plans, but be spiritually aware of the steps that God would have you. We had a guy come in here a couple days ago, veteran, down on his luck. I'm assuming his story is legit. He seemed to be legit. And sat down and talked with him and ended up putting him up for a night in a hotel. And what he said was this: I've known God for a long time. And he went on to continue to tell me a story. And after he was done, I said, okay, you know, appreciate your story and all. I said, I got a question for you, though. You said you've known God for a long, long time. What exactly does that mean? I wanted to press him on it. What does that mean? Because a lot of people would say that. And it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And he just came right out and said, Pastor, it means that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior back in 1990. And he began to tell me the whole story. I'm assuming his story was legit. But folks, that's the kind of heart we have to have. I could have just said, sure, we'll get you a hotel room for the night. Have a nice day. I could have said that. But I didn't. I didn't, because I knew that God had a different agenda in mind. It's not an accident that that guy stopped by. Maybe he just needed a word of encouragement. Maybe he just needed somebody to pray with him, which I did. Maybe just he needed somebody to share with him. Maybe he truly did need a hotel room, which that's what we got him. Maybe he needed to hear from a fellow believer that we're on the same page spiritually when it comes to salvation. I don't know. But as you go through your day and you engage people at your place of work every day and at your schools, you listen to me, boys and girls, at your schools every day, every conversation, every moment is an opportunity to engage that person with Jesus Christ. Everyone. And we need to allow the Lord to order our steps. And then finally, lastly, am I a part? I am a part of God's family. If you're a part of God's family, if you're saved, you're born again, and you love King Jesus, say amen. Amen. I do too. I am part of God's family. I am a child. I am a son of the living God. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Act like it. Go out of my way if I have to. That's what God did. That's when the true character comes out. It's easy to do it here in church, amen? It's hard to do it in the public's parking lot. It's hard to do it as you drive it down Parsons or Kingsway on the way home. Get out of the way! How do you know that, preacher? Because I do it. I've done it. I share this story with you, and I'm done. Many of you will remember this story back in October of 1987. Young lady, little girl, by the name of Jessica McClure. Little baby Jessica, remember that? She fell down a well chute. It was 8 inches in diameter. Think about how big that is. 8 inches in diameter. Somehow her little bitty old body went down 22 feet. Y'all remember that? I mean, it got national attention. And they spent 15 hours trying to get to her. And what they didn't know was that they were going to have to drill through limestone. They broke a lot of drills and drill bits and what have you. And it took them a long time to get to her. But eventually they were able to drill down far enough and get under her and come back up underneath her and get her up and out of that well. And it took them over 15 hours to do that. It was on the national news, wasn't it? And man, whenever that baby came out, those mom and daddy were right there just embracing that baby. And if you watched it, and I remember this, man, everybody was bawling. The firefighters were bawling. The police officers were bawling. The reporters were bawling. Mama and daddy were bawling. The camera people, everybody was in tears. Tears of joy, obviously. Because they were going to do everything they possibly could to get to baby Jessica. Y'all remember that? Expense didn't matter. Listen. God bankrupt heaven for you. Sent his only begotten son for you. He went out of his way for you. I challenge you, church. I challenge me. Are we willing to go out of our way for him? Or when Monday morning comes around, are we just going to get back in our routine, not even think about it? People all around us are dying and going to hell, and they don't have a clue that they are. And we must go and preach the gospel to every creature. We must evangelize. We've got to stop the excuses and go out of our way, just like God went out of his way. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. Lord, I know it was a long message, but Lord, this message is so important. God, every one of us right now, Lord, we want to lift up our hearts to you and say thank you for going out of your way. You didn't have to. You could have just let your creation alone and let it happen with whatever happened. But God, you loved us so much that you went out of your way to send your son, so that we might be redeemed, taken out of bondage, and become not just a slave for you, but we became free for you. Not just free, Lord, we became a son. And Lord, not just a son or a daughter, we became an heir. And not just an heir, God, we became a joint heir with Christ because you loved us. Lord, may we see the importance of sharing that with others. Heads bowed and eyes are closed as we start our invitation time. I wonder if there's anyone in here today who would say, Pastor, you know, I'm still stuck in that prison. And I don't know how to get out. I'm like little Jessica. I don't know how to get out. Somebody has to help me. Well, I've got great news for you. King Jesus can get you out. If you've never accepted Christ your Savior, if you do not know that heaven is your home one day, you need the Lord Jesus in your life. Would you ask him to come into your life right now? Would you just call out to him right now in the quietness of this moment and just say a little prayer to him? And you're not talking to me. You're not just saying words. You're calling out to him. Just say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot go to heaven on my own. God, I'm sinful and you are holy. But God, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he came to redeem me. I believe that he came to buy me back. Oh God, as best as I know how, I ask you to come into my life right now. I receive the free gift of Jesus Christ for salvation right now. Would you call out to him right now and do that? He'll give you that free gift. He'll forgive you of all your sins. Turn your life over to him right now. and become a son or a daughter of God. Believers, we must evangelize. We must see people in their sinful state and have a heart of compassion to reach out to them. I talked to a guy yesterday. His name was Ron. Ron said, when I asked him about heaven, he said he went to church. He said he was very active in his church, a church really about a mile from here. He told me how he sings in the choir and how he does all these other things. I said, you know, Ron, that's all great, and I'm glad that you're doing that, and I'm not here to take you away from your church. But Ron, I got to ask you a question. That's all good, but do you know for sure you're going to heaven one day? And he looked at me with all sincerity, and he said, well, maybe so. Folks, I got news for us all. We've got a lot of maybe-sos that are around us every day. And I proceeded to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus with him. Do we share the gospel? Do we take opportunities? I'm not talking about being a nice person. I'm talking about following the great commission and the great command of the Lord God. If not, then we need to repent of our inaction and of our callous hearts and beg God for a heart of compassion and outreach. Father, bless this time of invitation. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand.